It's like licking a pine tree.
This is Tall Can Audio.
Off we go, a brand new episode of the Tall Can Audio podcast. This is number 1306 for those of you keeping track at home and didn't bother to read it in the show title. Matt Robinson with you in the studio in beautiful Bytown, Canada. Sitting across from our buddy Ian McMartin from the Whippersnapper Brewing Company. What's happening, man?
I'm just cracking our first beer, Matt.
First. We promise everybody. This is the first.
It is just the first.
Yes.
Doing good. How are you?
I'm all right, man. Doing pretty good. Happy to see you. You came with beer. That'll always make you welcome here.
Yeah. And, you know, we always talk about different things. And I know it's going to be potentially a tough night for you. I don't know when you're going to...
Could be. This will come out today. We're going to get this one out today.
Straight away. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. That's exciting.
So I'm a little stressed right now and...
I can't wait to see how it's going to go throughout the day, and if it goes, you know, the way it could go, how the last show of the day could go.
Could go, yeah. We could be just hours away from the annual flag lowering ceremony.
I'm so excited.
I'm actually annoyed that the game is at 8 o'clock, just because it's that extra hour I have to wait, and then it's extra late that you're out there putting that show together, because it happens right after. Yeah. The game, if this is in fact that night. Yeah, so they didn't do me any scheduling favors here either. The Tuesday game was 7 o'clock, so that would have been a kinder way, but I guess I'm happy we won. So,
well, that's just it.
Yeah. We'll talk a little hockey in a minute, but you have brought some beers here. What have you brought to the table today? I know it all ties into something we're going to talk about here in a couple minutes.
That's true, yeah. And yeah. I'll pass on the beer to you here.
Okay.
So the first beer is our...
Thank you.
So yes, it is May the 4th coming up, and for the past couple of years, we've done a May the 4th 4-pack.
Okay.
And
which is, of course, the Star Wars
the
Day.
The Star Wars reference,
May the 4th be with you.
Correct, yeah. I should not always assume that everybody knows that, because this is a sporting show.
It's true.
And the sports and the Star Wars don't necessarily
not always a crossover
marry, but,
audience.
Yeah, hopefully it holds your audience attention for at least a few minutes.
The beer will, at least.
Exactly. So we do have a 4-pack coming out. Like I said, we've been doing it for the last couple of years. We did the first set of 4 with the original trilogy based on those. Mm-hmm. And then last year we did the prequels.
Okay.
And now we're doing episode 7, 8, 9, so the sequels.
How many are there?
9.
Okay, so there is 9.
And
so
plus the shows and the movies and stuff like that. Yeah. Okay. So we've made it through the prequels and the sequels. So now I can do whatever I want next year. So.
Right. You got to get into like the Disney Plus series, right?
There's
I know some spin-off
shows. Clone Wars
there.
Is great.
Yeah, okay.
Mandalorian, all that kind of
stuff. Right. So what is this first beer we're sipping on?
Right. So the first one is a cold IPA. It's called Starkiller. It's a 7% cold IPA, which is... you know, it's basically done at a lagering temperature with lager yeast, but we use some IPA style hops, including Chinook and Simcoe, I believe, in this one.
Okay.
So it has a little bit more of a tropical nose.
Yeah, I was going to say, right off the hop, it's got like I don't know whether you'd call it like a pineapple or something, but something tropical for sure. Yeah.
But it's still got a little bit of the piney citrus that you get from a West Coast hop.
Right.
Yeah. But it is nice and crisp and clean. And for 7%, it should go down pretty decently,
I would imagine. Look, we'll circle back and we'll try each of these. But just while we're talking about the 4-pack, what else is in the pack for people interested in that?
Right. Yeah. So the 4-pack, it's the cold IPA at a generous 7%. We have a NEPA at 5.8% that features Mosaic hops, Spectrum hops, which is really fun.
Right.
And then a red IPA, which I'm not a big fan of ambers, usually pretty sweet and things like that, but this has got a little bit of roastiness to it, a little bit of bitterness, so it balances out.
You don't see a lot of the red IPAs. I kind of like them, though.
We'll find out if you like
it. We will. That's true, yeah.
And then the last but not least is a DEEPA, so it's a big, fat, juicy, you know, 8%er.
Right on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll work through a little bit of those, but... you mentioned you've been doing this 4-pack for a couple of years, but you've got something going on at the brewery too, I believe, right?
Yeah, this Saturday we're having a little bit of a May the 4th day, so we're doing Star Wars flights all day of all the beers. We're having a pizza pop-up, so we've been working on our pizza kitchen for the last little while.
Okay.
And we're still working on it. We actually finally have the HVAC started, which has been holding us back for about 5 months.
Wow.
It's all fun. It's all good.
Yeah, sure.
But yeah, so we've been doing a lot of work. My wife, Sarah, is in charge of all the pizza stuff and has been doing a fantastic job. We did some test runs last night. We're going to be doing some test runs tonight, too. So
right on. I mean, you're eating well?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a steady diet of beer and pizza.
Just like college all over again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the pizzas are fantastic. We got a great oven. And so she does all sorts of unique styles and recipes and things like that. So it's going to go over really well. So that's all Saturday too, watching the movies. So it should be a good day.
So how does this work when you do a movie marathon like that in the Star Wars thing? Because you and I talked a little bit off air. I don't think I've seen 1 minute of a Star Wars movie.
Which is crazy.
It is a little bit wild that somewhere you didn't at least bump into one on an airplane or something.
Well, and when I was growing up, I'm a little bit older than you, lot older than you. We used to get it at Friday afternoon before a holiday or something like that. They'd reel out the old projector.
Okay.
And show you half of a movie. Or like a reduced timed one.
We used to get movies in school now and then, but it was never Star Wars, yeah. I don't think. But
at best, you'd be jamming a VHR, you know. VHS,
yeah, exactly. Well, I do think, though, it feels like somewhere I saw the original, like maybe on like a school trip on like a, you know, a coach bus sometimes has the TVs in it.
Yeah.
And I just didn't care. So I wasn't paying any attention.
Okay.
But I did say to you when I was texting, I was a Star Trek nerd.
Yeah, that's interesting.
The Next Generation held me. That was sort of right in my childhood, kind of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. It's space and they're fighting aliens and stuff like that. And yet obviously, I have that in me to like be interested in that somewhat, but for whatever reason, it never translated into the Star Wars.
Yeah. And so it's the same situation for me. I'm not a big sci-fi nerd or anything like that. I enjoy some of them, but not all of them. And I didn't cross over to Star Trek.
Okay.
So I watched one Star Trek. It was the Wrath of Khan.
Yeah.
Early on at the theaters, and I was pretty young.
Right.
And the whole worm in the head and the helmet and stuff like that. It's like, nope, I'm out.
This isn't for me.
Yeah. I'm out. I'm out.
So if you're going to run a marathon, do you do them in order of release or in order of like the prequels first and then the originals? How do you program a Star Wars
thing? That's the way we did it last year. So the first year was great. You just play 4, 5, 6. It's the only episodes anybody wants to watch anyway.
Right. Okay.
And then, last year we're like, I guess we got to watch Jar Jar. And so we started with that, but we started earlier in the morning so that nobody would actually have to be around to watch. So
we've technically showed them, but
we've technically showed them. And I think on Saturday, we're probably going to start off with 7, 8, 9 and maybe work our way to the others at the end of the day.
Okay.
It's a good 6 hours of viewing. We'll probably start it at noon and then go again or something like that. Or just show something better afterwards. Yeah.
One of
the original trilogy.
There you go. Okay. Yeah. Circle all the way back through to it.
Exactly. There you go. If you show up on Saturday, you might actually get to watch some of the Star Wars.
That's true. I'm not sure if that's a pro or a con, though.
Oh, pizza and beer involved.
I'm always, that part will always work. That'll always draw me in. You're a Simpsons guy, I know. I'm just trying to think. Yeah.
A Simpsons event coming up on May 11th.
Another one, eh?
Trivia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Based around baseball episode. Oh, homework to that.
I love that episode.
Yeah, Wonder Bat.
Love that episode.
It's so good. It's best song, too.
Yes.
Well, Monorail's pretty good.
Yeah, I know. It's true. They've done pretty well musically.
Ozzy and the Straw.
I just, every single time on the Blue Jays broadcast, because Don Mattingly is now the hitting coach, I always just,
Shave those damn sideburns!
And no one else laughs, but I enjoy it every time.
There, I'm right with you.
Yeah, and I'm obviously just not watching the games with the right people.
Yeah.
But when you do something like this, like I remember there was a Simpsons episode where they were like making fun of the new Star Wars movies, and it like the whole movie was in like a courtroom or something. Do you remember this at all? It was a little later than the early years, but
yeah. So I pretty much stopped watching The Simpsons after season whatever it was, 10 or 11.
This would have been right around there, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, that's so sort of when I fell out
ring
too.
A bell.
Okay,
yeah.
And they called it something like Galaxy Wars or something, so they didn't get sued. But it was supposed to be like making fun of one of the Star Wars movies that turned out to be all about like space law, and they were fighting over like courtrooms. There was no action at all and stuff. So
a Law and Order in space. And
there you go. Yeah, that's basically what this movie was making fun of. So I just wondered if that's what if that rang a bell to you in terms of one of the movies that got ripped for not having enough action or anything like that, or that was just The Simpsons doing their own thing.
Yeah, yeah. Probably just The Simpsons doing stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, and the what you mentioned about them not wanting to get sued, so similar for us, because this is Star Wars loosely based.
Right.
we have the May the 4th label on it type of thing, and then the can art is just my really poor, messy, abstract coloring. so you can't actually tell what it is, other than the fact that there's lightsabers. But there's lightsabers in other movies, too. So
we talked about the legalities of this stuff when we were doing the Who Wants It.
Yeah.
That you couldn't technically use whatever, correct, but we could kind of blur something in the background that looked, you know.
Yeah.
That's something you got to be careful of, I guess, when you're doing these.
More obscure. Yeah, and sometimes I do better than others, and I've been asked very kindly to take some things back and not publish. And
okay.
Little cease and desist.
Sure. Okay.
Fun.
Yeah. We've run into that once or twice with some music choices that we've run on the podcast. And now we have to be careful either when we use it or on what platforms, like YouTube, especially.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Not that this has ever been a video show, but we have tinkered a little bit in the past about putting even the audio on YouTube, but they are right on you with any kind of music or stuff like that. So,
well, and it's interesting because, don't bother. You know, Instagram and Facebook now, we can use songs from, you know.
Yeah. But you can't download it, eh? Like, if you create a story or a reel or whatever and you put music in the background, when you go to download it, the music gets cut out of it.
Yeah.
So there's some sort of agreement, I guess, must be with these record labels.
Right. Well, and it's good for plays too, right? So good for the artists. I would assume they get in some sort of royalty.
Must be, or they wouldn't let you do it.
Yeah, exactly. And even if you, so just because I happen to know, I've created videos and then layered on songs before the Instagram was allowing you to play artists now, and then put it into a reel.
Yep.
It will now pick it up that you have inserted whatever song X by band Y.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're clever.
They're right on it,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah.
Okay.
They probably acquired Shazam. And
yeah, there's that app on iPhone that's called Clips that I've used a bunch of times, and it's for making exactly stuff like that. And you can use your iTunes music in it, but yeah, as soon as you go to share it anywhere, they're like, yeah, no, you can't upload
right.
that.
Yeah.
It's good, I guess, if you want to send it directly to your friends or family or whatever, but that's the extent of it.
Well, yeah, and short-lived, and it's fun
for
us to have music to go along with the beers and
100%,
make it a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. So when you, and we've talked about this a couple times, like you've got a bunch of different beers that were musically themed, so it would only make sense that when you're uploading to your socials, you're going to want to use that that song or whatever.
Yeah.
So when you set out to do something like this, and obviously you've done it a couple times before, this like a May the 4th Star Wars pack, how far out do you have to start on that with the names and the art and stuff like that and decide what the beers are going to be? How much run-up time is there?
Yeah, and some of them take longer than others, like our Christmas box set that I think you had. Yeah, you
sure
had.
Did, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Blew that through that over Christmas break.
Months of, and we're planning it literally the day after the last one gets produced. Mm. And even before, you start
holy
to
cow.
Think of it as
next
you're finishing
year,
it. It's like, oh, this is what we're going to do next year. Gosh, easy. Easy. I haven't even canned the last bit of it.
Yeah.
Fuck. So for this one, yeah, I mean, this one was pretty logical in terms of, okay, well, we're going to have to do 7, 8, 9.
Right.
But I started it probably in May 4th, probably late February. And because I'm not a huge fan of episode 7, 8, 9. I didn't even recall what kind of things I could use.
Right.
Like the characters weren't all that engaging to me. And so I just started scanning through YouTube videos of different Star Wars clips.
Couldn't even be bothered to watch the movies again?
It took too much time. I needed to get the artwork done.
Right, yeah.
And because that's another big part of the problem in this being released, the cans, I got them painted this time, and the turnaround time for the painted cans, I got some done in early January, and the turnaround time was 10 days. By the time I got this artwork to them, the turnaround time was 25 days.
Oh.
So it went from being, okay, we'll have this, you know, in a couple of weeks, to it's maybe going to get here before May the 4th.
Right.
Yeah.
That really puts the pressure
every
on
every single. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was losing it.
Better get it done today kind of thing.
Yeah. And it was. Yeah. I literally sat down, scanned through YouTube videos and try to figure out what I was going to do for the artwork, and it sort of came up that you know, they have some really big cinematic scenes, some really cool shots, and so that's how I sort of composed these, is based on the you know, cinematic fight scenes, and then banged out the artwork the next day.
And so you sort of you loosely draw them and then send them off for somebody else to do like a finished.
No. I do the poor drawing myself.
Yeah.
So I print out an outline of things.
Okay.
And then I use pastel pencils to,
okay.
to sort of
shade it in or
yeah,
color
exactly,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Do a blending of things.
And right.
It looks half decent. It's not great. I'm not an artist. Never took an art class in my life.
I just wanted to make beer like to and yeah. Now I have to have art to go along
exactly.
with it.
Exactly. And I like doing it.
Yeah.
And
so then those get sent off and
yeah.
the cans get painted?
Exactly. So they get sent off to whatever company we're using.
Yeah.
And they get the proofs are done up, which usually takes 3 to 5 days, which I'm like already late. So it's like, all right, let's go. There they are. They're at the top of the list. Come on. And then, yeah, they go into their schedule for printing and, comes out. So these arrived. They were supposed to have arrived last Wednesday. They had some issues with the printing. Didn't happen Thursday.
Oh, boy.
Didn't happen. No, I was able to pick them up Friday.
Okay.
But my delivery company doesn't deliver on the weekends. So I got them Monday at noon. I was canning them by 1 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I got to get this shit done.
No kidding.
And so they're all canned that day. Yeah.
The beers are already made at that point. Like, you're kind of happening at the
Correct.
Same time. And
yeah.
then when the cans arrive, you can – how long does it take you to do, like, a run of – I know it would depend on how much beer you'd made or whatever, but
yeah, I can usually do between 20 and 25 cases an hour on my little machine.
Holy crap.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, and after we're done here, I have to go do some canning.
Go do some more?
Because as part of the palette, so I get an entire palette done with these cans here, and so I got a bunch of other things done. And because everything was delayed with the painting, I have a bunch of beer in tanks that's just sitting there waiting to be taken away,
okay.
taken out. So, yeah, I've been canning every single day this week.
Holy cow. How often would you normally be doing it?
We don't do a ton. Maybe once or twice a week.
Okay.
Yep.
So this is abnormal for sure. This is giving me flashbacks to the Christmas pack, probably.
A little bit, for sure. Yeah, just emptying big tanks. Luckily, we can put stuff to kegs, too, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Well, are you ready for the next one, or okay? Before we get into some other things,
yeah, you ready to crack?
Let's do that.
All right. Oh Jesus! You need to have a splash guard in this
thing. Ah, that's it. Happens. And really, I never sit at that mic. So.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
So what have we got here for the second one?
The next one is Jakku. It's called Jakku, and this is based off of Ray and BB-8 sort of walking along the sand dunes on the planet Jakku. All the names of the beers are named off of planets and or locations where these battles take place.
Okay, and this will be the...
This is a New England IPA.
I'm looking forward to that. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, sir. And like I said, it's Citra and Mosaic Spectrum. I've never tried Spectrum before, which it's a hop extract. So it's basically the juicy oils just pulled out and no green.
Okay.
So hops are, you know, a plant and you get a lot of green material when they're pelletized. But this Spectrum is basically the essence of those pellets.
So it's supposed to be a little more pure or?
It's more pure. It's supposed to allow you to get more out of it. When you do these Nebus and Deepest, a lot of the beer gets sucked up into the pellet bits. So if you can just use like extracted oils, then that really, really makes it punch.
Sure.
And you can really smell it too. Like it has phenomenal.
So the pellets are like spongy? Like they pull the beer actually into themselves?
No, the hops are little flower cones. And what they do is they dry them and then they pelletize them. So they look like little rabbit feet.
Sure.
And so it's just little compressed bits of green and oils and lupulins and things like that that make up the flavors and the aromatics of the hops.
Okay.
And so what happens with this Spectrum is that it gets rid of all the green matter, all the vegetal matter that's associated with it. So it just keeps all the oils.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. What is it?
First time using it, so I'm pretty happy.
What is it that every now and then with certain types of IPAs or whatever, they'll tell you, you know, shake it up or there's going to be a little sediment inside of what causes that?
Yeah. And so Nipahs especially, it's a lot of proteins that are sort of suspended in the beer itself. And it depends on how you brew it and how well you do brewing it, how much drops out. Now, over time, things are all going to drop out.
Right.
Almost everything's going to drop out. But, the way you brew it, it can stay in suspension a little bit better than other things. Some things you want it to drop out. You want it to clarify. You don't want a lot of proteins left over.
Right.
Like pilsners and lagers and things like that. you want to have a little bit of protein for that head retention and a little bit of mouthfeel, but you don't want it sort of clouding up your beer.
Right.
Whereas NIPAs, you want that cloud.
Right, right, right.
And so it's the composition of the beer in terms of, you know, the flaked oats or the wheat and flaked barley, those kinds of additional proteins that really sort of thicken it up.
Yeah.
Give you that juicy mouthfeel, but also create that opaque white look.
Okay. Yeah. I want to ask you about one other beer thing here before we move into hockey, and it'll help take us into some hockey. Oh, is I spoke to you a couple of days ago because you've not been shy about the fact that your favorite episode or the episode that brought you into TCA was one of the flag lowering ceremonies. And for people who are new around here, there is a big Leaf flag hanging off my balcony. And every year when the Leafs are eliminated, I go take it down basically right away. And I do that because it's in the safety of darkness, right? No one's out there watching this shameful moment where I have to take it down. And it has to happen that first night anyway, because I don't want all the mouth-breathing Sens fans in this neighborhood to who drive by the next morning to be able to look up, see the Leaf flag and go, his team's gone, right? Like, I don't want to give them that little moment of satisfaction. Now, if they drive by here every day, they'll notice anyway, but
yeah,
you know, so be it. So I go out right after the Leafs are eliminated, whenever that happens, and I usually take just a set of headphones. I obviously can't take the studio mics out there, and so just a pair of AirPods or whatever, and record my thoughts in that moment. I'm awfully
immediate thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm usually, you know, in a really good place when that happens, right? Mental health at an all-time high. Pretty sober, like everything's going really good in Matt's world at that moment. And for whatever reason, you and many others enjoy that episode to suffer or to enjoy my suffering. Yeah. And so I texted you the other day and I said, and in my head, I'm more so thinking, because you do a lot of turnover, right? And you're very creative with the names of your beers. And in my head, that's what I'm sort of thinking is, do you have anything sitting over there right now that name-wise might,
okay,
you know,
I picked up on.
Implement or like implicate it's a bad day or things like that? And I realized after I sent the message that I left it pretty wide open in terms of what I might be looking for here. And you came back with something, not with a name, but with a characteristic that's going to be equally important when that moment eventually rolls in. And you brought over on Tuesday, just in case, just in case it was going to be Tuesday, a 15% beer.
Yeah.
Tell me about that one.
Yeah, it's a nice box. So, you know, in our conversation, and you had texted me, what, right after they lost game
four, I think it was Saturday night after game four.
Right after they went down 3-1.
Yeah.
And you're like, I kind of need something. What do you got?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, well, I got something for you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if your team's going to lose, you're going to drown your sorrows sometimes, right?
Yep. Yeah, I am familiar with the occasion.
Yeah, yeah. And as we went over it on Tuesday, you were drowning your sorrows, but it was unneeded.
Right.
And so an Eisbock is, it's a brewed bock beer, which is a dark sort of lager kind of thing. Really rich, really roasty. Mm-hmm. And we do this every year. We've done this every year for quite a while now. We've brewed in little blue barrels, but we push these things outside in the middle of the wintertime and literally freeze the beer. And it freezes the water, and then we can extract the juicy, boozy...
The good stuff.
Innards.
Okay.
Yeah. So
the fact that the water is frozen...
It goes from a pedestrian 8 or 9% up to 15 plus. And I don't even know what it ends up being.
Oh, great.
All I know is that it's, you know, 8, 9, 10%, and we lose about 50 to 60% of the content.
Oh my gosh.
In water being
Because
frozen.
Of the water being frozen.
Correct.
How long does it have to sit out there for it to freeze like
well,
that?
Well, it depends what the temperature is outside.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Science major Matt over here.
Well, and this year was tricky too because it wasn't that cold.
Right.
So I got lucky you have to be, what's that term where you're not always lucky? It's about being prepared, that kind of thing, right?
Sure.
And so I brew it early to make sure that it's ready to go just in case.
Whenever the temperature drops.
It's like, let's fucking go. And this year we had 2 or 3 days of minus 15 or minus 20 only.
Right.
Yeah. And so it's boom, out you go. And I think it was 2 days in. I was like, well, that's enough. I had a chip through the top of
Holy cow.
To extract. Yeah. And I've put out some videos and things like that. You can actually, some old YouTube stuff. But yeah, you see the crystal ice on the walls of the blue barrel and this black juice, like super tar oil stuff coming out. It's phenomenal. And it tastes great. And the one I brought for you, it's from 2 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully that's aged well. But yeah, I mean, you're going to be.
I won't notice anyway. Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. I may have had another beverage or two leading up to it. And, so
well, what I'm thinking, though, that I brought you this on Tuesday, and we talked about it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I was nervous about bringing it to you on Tuesday because I'm like, well, if they win, then.
It could turn out that you were the one who set them off on the
yeah. I've already been blamed.
Path to redemption.
Yeah, exactly. I have some friends who are Leaf fans who are happy about this.
Yeah.
Well, shout out to Bubba and Keith and Jen and Jeff and
sure.
those idiots. But like, there's but no excuse. You're from Toronto. They're not.
But like, if this goes really well, yeah. like I may be out on the balcony in June.
Yeah.
With the flag still up, lifting this 15% beer over my head like the Stanley Cup.
It could be.
It could be.
It could be.
Or it could be tonight. There's a wide range of outcomes.
I'll be really disappointed if that's the case, that it goes all the way to June and you do that.
We'll know exactly who to point to and thank.
Yeah.
You won't be welcome in Ottawa.
I'll be carried on the shoulders down Yonge Street. I'm sure of it. Yeah.
So when it freezes, does it freeze solid, like a rock?
No.
So it turns into like a big slushy or...
Essentially, yeah. I mean, the beer, alcohol doesn't freeze.
Right.
Except, like, super, super cold, I assume, but...
But 50, 60% is water, you said.
Correct.
And so...
Yeah, so you get a lot of it frozen.
Right.
And it, I basically put it in a siphon in the very middle and just pull it out, suck it out.
Whatever can pump is liquid, exactly. And that's the stuff I want to keep.
And that's like, okay, well, I got X amount of cases this year instead of, you know, Y
right.
the year before. So you never know how much
it's
you're
like
going to get
doing
out
maple
how much
syrup
freeze.
Or something.
Yeah, it totally is, right? So, like, maple syrup's what, a 40-to-1 ratio?
Yeah, yeah.
Not quite that much, but but yeah, it's a fun beer to make. It's one of our favorite releases of the year because it is so unique and interesting to try. Yeah.
My dad did the maple syrup thing up at the family cottage one year because the cottage was out in the middle of the woods and figured, you know, he's retired. Let's give it a shot. See what happens.
Yeah.
And the first year, I think he was a little surprised maybe with how much work it was to monitor it and, you know, but he got a decent amount out of it.
So my wife's father and mother and father had a sugar bush up north.
Okay.
We're from North Bay. She's from Sudbury, but a little bit outside of North Bay, they had a maple farm, just a small one. They didn't do a whole lot because he did stuff otherwise.
Yeah.
But we were always up there in March for doing maple season. And it's fun. You literally sit around all day. I mean, you go collect the buckets in the morning,
yep.
Bring it back, and you evaporate all day long.
Yep.
You just crush beers all day long while you're stoking a fire. It's nothing better. You sit there and throw wood into a fire, and you taste the syrup as it sort of goes along, you
right.
know, as it evaporates. So you taste it when it's, you know, quote unquote tea, the
sure.
really light sugary bits, to all the way to the end.
Right.
And from there, I took some maple sap and did my first two maple beers, to which I have a few beers for Lee.
Mm.
Who?
Well, why don't you tell us about those?
Yeah, so I've been, I don't know, ridiculed.
Well, yeah, should we run the story back, I guess? Is is a couple of weeks ago now, I guess, Lee stopped in to pick up a few things for, you know, to bring over here or to take home with himself or whatever was going on. And I guess... asked if you were around, had heard your name and whatever, and you mentioned to him, oh, I got a couple things I'll send over to the studio. I got a couple things for Matt, and I think you'd send something for Ian, and maybe a couple for Rob.
Yeah.
And
literally everybody except for Lee.
Right.
Because I didn't have anything specific for Lee. I was
thinking
about it. I was like, well, I know Lee's tastes, and they're weird.
So. They are a little weird. And so he arrived. And like he does, he had to make a deal out of it on the show and talk. It was like, well, I'm the one here. And it happens on this show. Rob's done it when Angela's brought in stuff from Lake of Bays before, and she'll text me the next week. Does he not remember I brought him stuff at Christmas? Like, it just depends kind of who's around that week or who's anyway. So you're not getting caught in that. Again, you've decided you've got something for him you've brought over here.
Well, no, and when he was there that day, I did have this blueberry pancakes, which is the beer.
Right.
in the tanks in the middle of fermentation, and I gave him a taste from that tank. So before anybody else had a taste, Lee had a taste. He very carefully omitted that truth from every single
It doesn't fit the story.
No, exactly. Which is fine. Which is fine. It's convenient that you forget that. Sure. But it's okay. But yeah, so he had the first taste of that, which I had thought of bringing for Lee, which is what I brought today. So blueberry pancakes, it's a wheat beer with blueberries, maple syrup, a little bit of lactose. It tastes like blueberry pancakes.
I'm looking forward to trying that. Yeah. I'm going to swipe one of those off.
I'll
wait for them, but I'm going to be having them. Yeah, we'll see what happens here. But he'll appreciate that. Lee likes when people think of Lee, so that's fair enough, right?
Beer number three.
Let's do that.
Yeah. So this one is the red IPA. This one's called Supremacy. It's the it's where Kylo Ren and Rey Kylo Ren's just killed Snoke, who's the chief bad guy.
I don't know any of these names.
I know.
Like, culturally speaking, I'm aware of Star Wars. I recognize the characters.
You know,
I don't know anything
you're talking
involved,
about. But names and places. And so, yeah, this is them fighting off the Praetorian Guard. And it's a really cool looking scene. And so in the last couple of years, we've done a black IPA and an Imperial Stout, obviously for the Imperial side of things, Darth Vader, all that kind of thing, right?
Like it.
And this one, it was red. And I really loved the scene and the cinematography of this particular scene. It's black and red. And I'm like, oh, I've done so many black beers already for this series. And I was like, I'm going to try and do a red IPA. Screw it. But there we go.
Attaboy.
That's the sound. moving on to the glassware.
Yeah.
So with this one, because I'm not a big fan of ambers. I don't like them overly sweet and things like that. I like a nice roastiness. I like some bitterness.
Right.
Right in front of you there.
Thank you.
And so this one is a deep red. With West Coast style hops. So it's got, I think it's Cascade and Centennial in this.
Okay.
And again, it's got some roast malts. So you'll pick up a little bit of coffee tones to it. And
you can almost smell that a little bit before you get a little bit of that just coming off of it, right?
Exactly. And that's just a touch of roast malts. We have some caramel malts in there too, but.
Oh, I like that.
Mm.
So why is the red IPA so uncommon? Is it difficult to brew?
It's just not sexy.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, reds. Again, I hate reds, but a red IPA is just very uncommon because it's not super sexy. Reds aren't sexy, and then IPAs are tough if they're not NEIPAs half the time now.
Yeah.
Like, West Coast gets a bad name because it's too bitter.
It's so weird, man, because you've probably known from listening to the show, I haven't always been much of an IPA guy, and the more and more I become an IPA guy, I'm becoming more and more of a West Coast IPA, which was the thing I think that initially I didn't love, right? Yeah, but now that's the part I'm like, hit me with it. Give me that strong, like, bitterness or
absolutely.
Whatever.
Absolutely. Strong bitterness, clean flavors, super easy to drink. Like I have always said, our Inukshuk is I called it a Canadian IPA. It's like licking a pine tree. And I absolutely love it. And if I was to be stranded on a desert island for the rest of my life, what beer would I take? I would take that one because I could drink it day in, day out.
Right.
If people ask me, what's your favorite beer? It's like, well, what did I just release this week? Whatever's fresh is what I kind of like and I'm gravitating towards. But I'll always go towards my West Coast.
Yeah.
And maybe some Pilsners.
that's the style. If I want an IPA, I got no beef with the New England IPA or anything, but the West Coast has started to be where I'm looking to hang my hat and get something like really over the top, bitter and piney.
Absolutely. And this one's great too. Like it does have that sort of West Coast quality with a little more, like West Coast typically have a little bit of malt action to them. This is over the top malt action.
Right.
And the roasted malts too, which isn't very uncommon.
You do get a little of that flavor in it. Is that little bit of roastiness. So what's the difference between a red and an amber?
Anything? Color differentiation?
Yeah, okay.
I'm not sure.
That's it. Yeah. Okay. Well, I thought if there was anybody to ask you.
Yeah. Typically people will say, well, here's an amber beer or an Irish red.
An Irish red.
Like. Yeah, exactly.
The Irish red's, I don't know, a little drier maybe?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Ambers are typically sweet.
Yeah.
Which is why I don't like them. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of sweet stuff.
Guy's bitter and doesn't like sweetness.
Exactly.
Bitter. Personality, beer,
heart,
whatever.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, it's fine.
So how does it... differ, you know, brewing a normal IPA to a red IPA, or like, is it just a...
Yeah, it's just the malt. So we would involve a little bit more caramel malts. With West Coast IPAs, you get some caramel malts in there, but with this red, you get even more.
Right.
So you start amping up the caramel malts, you get a deeper C60, Cara 60 or something like that. And again, I said I added some roasted malts to even darken a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way I wanted it. Yeah.
We'll plug our Instagram here at Tall Can Audio because we're going to make sure these cans end up on there. The artwork is well inspired, so we'll let everybody get a look at that. And you can check it out for yourself in person. Just go over to the Whippersnapper Brewing Company and grab yourself the May the 4th pack. And I don't know if you're going on Saturday, stick around for a movie, yeah, a little pizza.
Yeah.
You've been watching my Leafs. What have you thought of the playoffs so far? It doesn't have to be the Leafs, yeah, if a different series has your attention.
Well, I mean, with all the stuff we've been doing at the brewery, we've been stuck there late pretty much every night. But every night when we get home, I'm watching the third periods of things because everything's starting late.
Right.
It's not been as good as I hoped of a round one. Usually round one is like bloodbath.
Wall to wall. Steve Lloyd and I were talking about that the other day on here, that round one, normally you can't beat it. And this year, there's been a lot of lopsided series or things.
Everything's gone 3-1 and almost over immediately.
Well, and as you and I sit here Thursday, there's only one game tonight. Like, it is Leafs and Bruins, but half of the fun of round one is there's normally 3-4 games a night, and you just sit there and constantly flipping around. And
you love watching them beat the crap out of each other.
Yes.
The first round is always the heaviest round.
Yeah.
I'm almost always disappointed with rounds 2 and 3. It's like whoever survives round one is
basically
decimated for 2 and 3 and got nothing.
And then
left.
You find some energy for the final, right, when you get there.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
or you get that upstart that's sort of fought its way through 2 and 3 and they got nothing
left
in the final.
Yeah. True enough.
The Panthers last year that were like on pins fodder. And needles and aspirin bandages and stuff like that, right?
So. Yeah, just fodder for that Vegas team.
Yeah, but there's not been any really compelling series.
Well, Dallas-Vegas has been really good.
But late.
Yeah, it's been late night for sure, and that's hurt me a little bit at times. But
So I watched the first couple of periods of Edmonton LA last night, which were good.
Yep.
And then I had to shut her down because I get up at 6.
Mm.
So I was like, they're up a couple, they're up now. Well, yeah. I'm feeling good. And so they ended up winning that one, which is good.
Yeah.
The Winnipeg Colorado one starts off so good.
Yeah.
That first game was
7-6. Oh, yeah, here we go. Seven
Winnipeg
games of this, please.
Fucking packed it in.
Nope, that was it.
I don't know what happened to that.
No. Well, Connor Hellebuyck gives up five or more in every game.
Per game. How does that happen?
In a million years, you wouldn't have gotten me to predicted that was the way that was going to play.
It's like Ottawa Senators goalies right there.
Just for Pasallo.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and what was the Colorado goalie? It was
Georgiev.
Yeah, Forgiev.
Yeah, Fjorgiev. That works too. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It was Forgiev.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he heard the press. He's like, oh, fuck this. I'm shutting her down too.
Yeah.
Nothing getting past me anymore.
Honestly.
Oh, Jesus.
And it you could have easily talked me into Colorado beating Winnipeg, but not the way they did, right?
No.
Not with that kind of beatdown.
No fight with Winnipeg.
No.
None.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that's what I look forward to with the first round. I want to have game 6. I want to have game 7.
Yes.
I want like back and forth and just crushing hits.
Well, and you're right with the physicality, right? Because not everybody's beat up yet and everybody comes out in round one like they've been shot out of a cannon. They're hitting everything that moves.
Yeah. It just feels like it's the skill is just winning out. And I'm not sure if it's the officiating that's lending itself to that.
Could be.
Is that the target that they want, like the teams that finish atop the standings to continue for a change?
Well,
I mean, that would have been good for the Leafs years ago.
Hey, wouldn't that have been awesome? Yeah. No,
but, or the Senators in the early 2000s.
That part was awesome.
Ooh.
Yeah. How much of Leafs and Bruins have you been able to see then? You've been working a lot, but little bits
like I said,
here
the
and
ends
there.
Ends of second periods and third periods for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah. And just catching the recap during the
They both, honestly, for a second versus third series, they just don't look, either team, all that impressive. Right?
No.
And Boston's been full value for being up on Toronto, and Toronto's had the two games where they played pretty well, like games 2 and 5. But neither team looks like they...
Nobody's dominating.
No.
Nobody's
and,
pushing.
And nobody's can come close to convincing me that if they... Whoever gets out of this has a shot at Florida.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Like, Florida's going to roll either one of these teams probably in 5.
Florida looks like a menace, which is terrible. I hate having teams south of the Mason-Dixon line winning cups. That really bothers me because... And I think this
Gary's
is part of the reason.
Dream.
Well, yeah, I think this is part of the problem with Canadian teams is that there's so much focus on them, so much pressure on them to do well and perform. Meanwhile, the teams in the South have zero people covering them.
Yeah.
Like when Tampa won the Cup last, or not last, but like earlier in 2004
yeah,
or whatever.
2020 and 2021. Yeah.
Exactly. They had two horse cops. And yes. like 20 people milling about, and they're like, nothing's going on. Nothing. You have no idea anywhere outside of that stadium that anybody would have won a cup.
Right.
So, like, there's just no pressure. It's like Carolina against Edmonton or who the hell did
Calgary played?
Was it Carolina? No, Carolina.
It was Calgary-Tampa in 2004.
Was that what it was? Calgary actually won and didn't win?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. then Edmonton... And Carolina, and then Ottawa and Anaheim. So you had like three straight of good
Canadian,
you know, good Canadian boys versus
the deep South,
yeah,
where nobody gave a fuck about hockey.
It's true.
I do a lot of high tech. Well, I'm still in high tech, but yep. I go to San Jose all the time. And one day I was walking in like the quote unquote main street of San Jose, which is just really a shopping market district now because the old original downtown San Jose is just a wasteland.
Desolate, yeah.
Yeah. So walking along the street and I see Saku Koivu and Teemu Selanne sitting on the bench. Just hanging out, shooting the shit. Nobody has a clue they're there.
Speaking Finnish.
Yeah, exactly. Totally. And so I walk up to them and say, hey guys, hey Saku, hey Teemu, I'm Canadian. Yeah. Just wanted to say hi.
That's why you're being recognized.
Exactly. Just so you know. And then I left like a good Canadian.
Sure, boy. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I don't want to disturb your day, but I just wanted to recognize that one person here knows who the hell you are. And they were playing for Anaheim at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. So, yeah.
And it does make you think a little bit, and I'm not sure how much I buy into it, but it does make me, you know, give time to the argument that it is the extra pressure that stops a lot of free agents from wanting to come 100%. To Canada.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in Anaheim or you're in Miami or you're whatever, and you're golf in the morning and then show up to the game in sandals and nobody's hounding you while you're living your life with your kids.
You get shit kicked 10-2. Nobody cares.
Right.
You don't have to wake up and read it on the news or hear it on the radio.
Right.
Your wife doesn't hear about it from people at the grocery store, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
and at the same time, though, I don't know, you'd like to think that some of these guys want that pressure too, right? Like some of these guys might want to be in that market that this is all that matters. This is the big thing. This is,
I like to think about
personality.
That Brady Tkachuk for the Senators wants to be in this environment.
Yeah.
Wants to drive it forward. I'm really hoping he's kicking everybody's ass this summer and telling them to work out and get their shit together.
I bet you he's going to have a voice on the hiring there of a new coach.
That could be.
He's going to want someone who I think, like, I don't know whether Craig Berube is going to end up here, but that type of guy, right?
Well,
that hard-ass guy.
Exactly. And Berube is somebody that Walt knows and everything like that.
Yeah, that little St. Louis hockey mafia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If Toronto gets the early boot, do they airdrop Berube?
I put that out on Twitter a couple of days ago if you're looking to hire a coach here, get her done pretty quick because there's a monster coming into the market with a lot of money.
Well, that's the thing. It's not getting done quick because he's waiting.
He might be.
He's just waiting. He's like,
and a couple of these guys might be.
Out.
Let's just wait and see who else, what might be available. Is Pittsburgh going to be available? Is Tampa going to be? They've talked
Carolina?
About John Cooper. Yeah, that Rod Brindamore's not locked up. So there's going to be some jobs available, especially if you can get that Carolina job. Like guys are really good. If you could get a gig there, maybe you're right. Maybe it is more the coaches that are waiting and not the teams that are dragging
I totally think it's the coaches right now. But, I mean, we've got 15 coaches turned over in the last year or so.
Up to 16 now.
Yeah, there you
just,
go.
Just the other day, I can't remember who it was now that got let go. But
Hextall from
Seattle. That's right,
Seattle.
That was 16. So exactly half the league in the last calendar year has fired their coach.
Yeah, crazy, right?
That's a little wild. It's a little wild. Well,
apparently they didn't like him much. They sort of...
Yeah, a lot of the players said in the exit meetings were done. If that guy,
that's tough.
I don't know how I feel about that. Right, like back in the day, you get Scotty Bowman, Tobe Blake. Right, those days you'd have never seen that. But now that the guys are making their
guess,
millions.
What I'm the coach.
Yeah,
I'm going to send you down to the whatever league.
Right, and we own your rights in perpetuity. Like you're never going to hit free agency. So it was a different world.
Yeah, totally is.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the Sens here in a second and what you thought of their year, but we got one more beer to try.
Are you thirsty? Are you
more?
All right, so this is the last one. This is the double NEPA here. This one's called Crate, and this is based on the kind of fight between Kylo Ren and Skywalker, even though Skywalker was a hologram. So basically there's a big assault on a rebel base and Luke Skywalker walked out and Kylo Ren's like, oh, I'm going to go take this guy down, right? I'm going to be the big man. And only to realize that was a hologram, just delayed everything so the rebels could get away.
It's like our modern AI world. We don't know what's real.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, that's what this is. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's a Nipa?
It is a double Nipa.
A double Nipa. Okay. Yeah.
So filled with galaxy.
I like it. Zaka. Far, far away.
Exactly. So it is big and thick and rich.
All right. I'm fascinated by...
Did a shit-ass poor job. Fucking plastic cups. There you are.
That's all right.
No, we had to split. We weren't going to do four each today.
That's like,
we're reasonable.
It's a Thursday. Yeah. Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
It's a midweek afternoon. Yeah, no, we each have four tall boys in an hour, and then, yeah, roll right into the hockey game and allow my emotional decline to be fueled by extra points. And this is it. I don't know. Maybe I can squeeze in a nap. I don't know.
Oh, all right.
Four half beers.
There's two beers.
They're
pretty big beers, though.
This might get me a nice nap. I don't know.
That's true.
If it doesn't, though, yeah.
Well, it's an 8 o'clock start, though, right?
You're right. Might as well just stick with the pedal down at this point.
You have a case of beers out there now.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck Lee.
It's been said a time or two.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is a little juicier, maybe?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
So thicker, juicier. Meteor, like super
thick. We're still talking about the beer, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's really nice.
That is nice.
Happy with that one, yeah.
Yeah. And so when May the 4th rolls around in 2025, you'll have to have a whole new theme, four new beers.
I don't know if I'm going to do a four-pack again. Well, we've already decided that I'm not going to be doing painted cans for my weekly releases. That's just insane.
It's getting a little too tough with the speed of the turnover.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So not going to do that, which makes our label collectors very happy because they'll have labels again and not painted cans that they have to break apart. But yeah, next year I was like, I don't know if I'm going to do a four pack because that means I'm basically not releasing anything throughout April in preparation for this. So we might just do a one or two next year, but sort of spin off to like the Clone Wars or Mandalorian or some of those other...
Are they any good?
Disney acquisitions.
Are they like, so I've heard hardcore.
Clone Wars is fantastic. If you like cartoons,
and
it's really great story development and it's got many seasons, so lots of content there.
Right.
Mandalorian's fantastic. Some of the other Star Wars spinoffs have been hit and miss.
Yeah.
But there's
just some people who are always going to be stodgy, right? If it's not the original.
If it's not the original, it's garbage.
Yeah. Once you own like a Disney Plus network, like you're going to maximize the things you own. You're going to try some things, right?
Absolutely.
Why wouldn't you? And some of it'll work and some of it won't, but it's worth a shot.
You don't know until you try. And it's kind of like beers. You just don't know until you try. You might as well give it a go, right?
Right. The Sens are going to try next year.
Are they? Remember when I said they were going to make the playoffs?
I remember it.
The spring when I brought you that Who Wants It beer?
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody wanted it.
A lot of people.
None of them wanted it.
A lot of people came into this studio and told me that they were going to make the playoffs this year. And to be fair, I thought they would be better than in previous years, but maybe not a playoff team yet. And they just weren't. It was another year from hell. The ownership thing kicked in too late for them to be able to make any sizable changes before the season started. After the Pierre Dorion, the Dadonov trade comes out.
I mean, that was lucky for them to get that Dadonov situation to get rid of Dorion.
I guess
that
was
an easy excuse.
Yeah, get it done at the time. You're right about that. Then they have to do the DJ thing just before Christmas, bring in
2 months too late.
Jacques Martin. And
4 months too late.
I really thought there was a lot of frustration in the Sens fan base.
Oh, it's fine. I mean, if you want somebody that doesn't care about how they sort of play.
Yep. That's fair. So we get through, normally when you hire a new coach, you get that kind of bounce and they immediately take off. And that didn't happen, at least not right away. It took a week or two and you're kind of like,
it took a month.
Yeah, a little longer than I'm remembering.
Pouting a little bit that they lost their DJ.
Yeah, there could be some of that going around. And then they did take off for a while, right? Yeah. There was about a month or whatever where they were playing well above 500. And you go, okay, like maybe maybe Jacques's teaching some things, or maybe they're getting over their pouting, as you've put it, and we'll see what happens. And then that came to an end again, and they never got it back again.
No, and I guess the roster construction is an issue for sure.
Seems to be.
But like heavy left side D with nothing to balance it out on the right side.
Just your zoo.
The last couple of weeks of the season, the bottom six look like six in the AHL.
Yeah.
That would make you blush.
Guys that are on the run right now.
We went to a game. Sarah and I went to a game and we saw Boko Amama.
Yeah.
And what the fuck was that other Swedish guy? Schmeichel.
Schmeichel. Hey, Schmeichel.
That guy.
Yeah.
And somebody else in the middle. I don't even remember who the hell it was. It was like, I can't believe this is our fourth line tonight.
I'm paying NHL money to watch these guys. Yeah.
It was brutal. That was tough. That was tough. You know, the third line was our old fourth line. And, you know, I like Kastlik. I like Kelly in their roles. If Kastlik can engage his brain on things a little bit more often, he's a physical beast. Like, that's a perfect fourth line center.
Sure.
Kelly's good, can rip it up and down the ice, and he's got a good shot.
Sub Parker Kelly, I call him here.
Whoa, wow.
Just a little Sub Parker Kelly.
Wow, that's... Jeez. You expect a lot out of a fourth line Leaf fan?
Interesting. That was fair. When you go into this summer...
Oh, man.
Like, are you...
No idea.
Are you looking as a... Well, just on the coaching thing.
Yeah.
Like, is... Like long, like experienced coach, what you're looking for? Yes. Is it somebody with new approaches? Is it a hard ass? Is it another guy who can kind of coddle them a little bit? Like, what do you want to see?
No coddling.
Okay.
I'd like a little bit of a longer in the tooth, a little bit more of a hard ass. Yeah, I guess Craig Brewer would be the guy.
Yeah.
Brendan Morrow would be sweet as well. If
he's
Carolina's stupid enough to let that happen.
But, yeah. No, he's the bell of the ball kind of for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Somebody that's engaged and going to push the guys.
Yeah.
But they definitely need other changes too. I just don't know what they're going to do. They're kind of stuck with some of the guys.
It's hard. Like, we talked to Lloydie about this on the last episode. Like, Josh Norris would seem to be the guy, but what are you getting for him when he's just had another shoulder surgery and locked up long term? Right?
It took me 7 years to do a push-up.
So... It's, you know, I think people want to see what Pinto can be, right? Yeah. He's been hurt and then had the suspension. You're not trading Stützle. You don't want to trade Brady and you don't want to trade Sanderson.
No, not happening.
So what's the big move going to be?
And then you start talking about Drake Batherson, because I was listening to you and Lloydie the other day. It's like, because he's got a reasonable contract, but that's a reason to keep him.
That's right.
He's a good player, reasonable contract. He's a big dude, too, like 6'3", and, you know, a couple of bills.
And that's always the thing, though, right? Like, what could we move? I don't want to move that, right? Like, you got to give something to get something, but I don't know what you're getting. Like, what
I don't know.
If you're going to trade a Drake Batherson or a, Chicky. I'd say it's a Chikrin, what are you looking for?
Well,
is it a right side D?
And are you looking to trade to get an acquisition, like a hockey trade, or are you looking to just free up cap space so you can go sign somebody else?
I guess the free agent market this year looks a little thin, unless you could get a Stamkos to come, and even
not
then,
happening. But then you have to
probably not
pay for him.
Yeah, and he's getting old, and you know that could fall apart at any minute. Yeah, so
we Tarasenko'd that this year, right?
So, we've
been down that road,
right?
We've got enough wingers now. Stamkos is a center, but we've got lots of centers too.
But the thing would be, if you trade Batherson for a right D, are you still happy with the forward depth? Now that's taken a hit.
Yeah,
like, they're in a bit of a tough spot here.
Yeah, it's kind of like your Leafs.
It is.
With the Marner, well, with the four times four $11 million guys.
Yep.
You know, you lose one, you still got three $11 million guys.
Yeah.
I was going to come in today and... have you asked me how I was doing? It's like, I got a little bit of a headache and my tummy doesn't feel well. So, but I'm still coming to work, unlike all your other guys.
Yeah. Show's over. We're done here. No, I agree with you, though, that you get boxed in by your contracts a little bit, right? Even if they're decent contracts, I mean, I don't want to trade those ones.
Well, and the Senators and the players were sort of poking fun at the Leafs down the highway, saying, hey, we're signing for less than your guys. We're going to be in better shape, and then just go ahead and shit the bed.
Yeah,
they are in better shape, but they still have, they have one more player, right? Essentially, they've got five guys that fought at 8 million or, you know, between six and 8 million. And then the Leafs have the four times 11, which, so it's,
but it's also,
it's all in the 40 million range, right? So
with maybe the only exception being Tavares, I think you'd take Toronto's. Like, yeah, they're being overpaid or well paid, no, or
but Marner's not doing anything in the playoffs, and well, Tavares is done.
Well, you don't know yet what Ottawa's players may or may not be capable of doing in the playoffs. Are you taking Stützle over Matthews?
So you've got five or six games more than we do.
Yeah, well, we get a lot more than per year. You mean? Yeah, fair enough.
Per year,
Stützle. Are you taking him over?
The golf
be real. Are you taking Stützle over Matthews?
No,
no,
no. But I also don't know that. Matthews, so,
but as we check it down,
has the next level that like a McKinnon has.
Well, that remains to be seen a little bit. We've seen glimpses. Right. And we've his game two was elite. His game three was not.
Right.
And then game four is he sick? I have no idea what he's got. Right. Like
who
they
knows?
Said at first, it sounded like like a viral thing or a food poisoning thing. And now Friedman's saying it sounds like there's an actual injury. I have no idea. We won't.
But it's
got to
be significant. Like if it's not. Massive, like for Nylander, who hadn't missed a game in what 5,000 years, to miss the first three games of the playoffs—that's insane.
Yeah,
it's insane. Why did that happen? And then,
but Matthews, the only reason
in the middle of the
well, he gets pulled out in a second intermission, which is rare. Like he was good enough to go, but then not. Like I guess that's the illness. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Yeah,
but as you check it down, right? Sens versus Leafs, I would take Brady over. Frankly, over Marner at this point. I believe that's a game that's going to translate to the playoffs.
Yep.
I would take Pinto.
He doesn't play defense, but...
No. Right.
Brady doesn't know the other side of the blue
line. He does not.
His own DN.
And Marner's quite DJ good at that, but it doesn't matter when he vanishes in the playoffs,
exactly,
right? Like So I think I would take Pinto over Tavares just because of age and contract and things like that. So, you know, things can even out. And I would take Ottawa's top 3D over Toronto's.
Oof. What 3D you got in the top?
I would take Chychrun, Shabbat, and...
Chychrun, really?
Sorry.
The guy
Sanderson,
that has green jacket.
Zub.
And man... Sanderson, yes. Sanderson
for sure, I would take. And,
easily the best.
And is only going to get better, I think.
Oh, right? So good.
Yeah. And Zub... is a calming, like he's not a star. But on the right side, we don't have a lot of fine in Toronto, right? Like if we could
have a lot of fine in Ottawa either.
So, fair enough. But just as you kind of count it down and they're built a little differently and the Ottawa contracts are cheaper, but I think rightfully cheaper, right? In most cases. Yeah. But the thing that should, it's that Pierre went and then, like, I'm going to sign Tarasenko. Okay, do you have room for Pinto? No, I'll figure it out later.
No.
Well, lucky he got suspended,
shiny toy
I guess.
Guy, right?
But, yeah.
So he liked the shiny toys.
And
he
the Corpusalo. What are you doing?
Oh, man.
5 years on that?
Well,
are you doing?
It doesn't even matter. Goalies,
goalies are voodoo anywhere.
Not even that. So it's obviously more defense related than just goalies because Cam Talbot's now being talked about as a potential Team Canada goalie, and he couldn't get it under four goals against average in Ottawa last year. Said he had the worst year of his career. I wonder why.
Right.
Because his fucking defense is porous in
True.
Ottawa, and nobody wanted to
no
play
system
on the
in front
other
of
side
him.
Of the blue line.
Yep.
No, exactly.
Yep.
So it's not all goalies.
No.
Now, Corpusalo looks like he's, I don't know, floundering in a fishnet sometimes. He has no idea what's going on. But we've seen some really bad goaltending.
Yeah.
Well, getting scored on in the first two shots of literally every game this
happened
year.
Way too often.
Every game. I'm not even exaggerating.
And
every game.
Like, and you get to a point when you look at the Sens where all those contracts that were given to your top guys actually look okay. Like, actually look, if not okay,
they
then good.
Look great.
It's that the free cap space you should have accrued for it.
Yeah.
You signed Matt Murray and then maintained on, or you went out and signed
Where'd
like
Matt
you said,
Murray
Corpus.
Go?
Yeah, well, but we got to put him on LTIR and you didn't, so that's how that works.
But we're all mad at Vegas for LTIR, not the Leafs. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay.
Well, that's because Vegas goes and does good things with it, and Toronto flounders around in their own feces. So. I don't know. It's going to be a fascinating summer in Ottawa. They have to do some things. They cannot just run it back again, and the most interesting part is normally when that's the case, there's a name or two you can point at and go, that guy's going to go, and this is specifically what they're going to bring back for it. I don't know what that is in Ottawa.
It's going to be disappointing. Whatever it is, it's going to be disappointing.
I don't know. You got to give the new guy a chance, right? Stay.
He'd like to. Well, yeah. His big acquisition was what?
Boris Kachuk.
Kachuk?
Cuckoo Kachu.
It's not great.
Next year's
sense. It's not great, man. It's not a great resume to start off with.
It's not. But I'd rather give
name a GM soon, and he can go back to being a president and not have the blame.
I wonder whether
that's
coming, eh?
Yeah. What about Shanahan? Is Shanahan going to get canned?
Well, he'll be available. Yeah.
But Sheldon Keefe.
He'll be available too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just import the whole?
What are you going to do with Tavares? You got 1 year left of Tavares and Marner, right?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah. But I think
you can't get rid of both of them next year, so you're stuck in limbo for an entire year.
And I think with Tavares, it just is what it is. He's got a no move. He came back as a free agent. He's your captain.
So disappointing. Like, he was one of those guys.
Well,
that was like,
I wasn't disappointed until this year. I wasn't disappointed at all. Like, this year, he started to fall off.
90 points, which is good.
He was a point a game, and like came into Toronto, had a 47 goal year. That was a career high. Like, he was really good for Toronto. And you have to keep in mind that in New York, they were running everything through him. In Toronto, they ran everything through Matthews. He was your number two option. Fair. So it does trim his options or his opportunities just a little.
Fair.
And so that was the going market to get him to come to Toronto. And it was fine for 5 out of the 7 years. This year, he took a step back for sure. And I think next year, you're just stuck. Like, no one's trading for that, right? Like,
no,
so
sort of stuck with it. Yeah. The end. So it's like a legacy player. And it's like, okay, fine. We just have to suck it up. It's kind of like the Wild with their
with Parisi and how that had to end.
They got 14 million on Elton.
Right. Whereas I think there's a chance, and I don't know. I think you could trade Marner. I think you'll probably lose the trade on value. But I think there are other markets, other GMs out there that would say if we got him out of Toronto and that pressure cooker, that he would be fine in the playoffs.
Player. But it's $11 million.
Yeah, 10.893, and he's probably going to be looking for a raise in a year.
He'd have to be the best player on the team by far.
Well, I think he is
the
best
top
player
three in Toronto at making $11 million for some reason. But
yeah, for some reason, I think on a lot
Where's
of teams
he go Arizona. Seattle?
Utah.
San Jose?
Utah. I really don't know. I really don't know who's going to have that kind of cap space.
Atlanta?
Sure. Why not? We'll start their franchise with Mitch Marner and Anson Carter's the one.
They'd have to ship them somewhere where they've got cap space.
Cap space?
Not typically good
places. Well, and you almost certainly then have to take back, if you're Toronto, a shit contract. Like, they're going to want to unload a contract too.
Can Arizona trade back Weber?
Sweet.
Datsyuk.
$10
million. Datsyuk's still on the...
Yeah. Chris Pronger.
Pronger, yeah. Exactly.
All their all-stars, man.
Dead cap.
Man, Arizona would have been elite in 2002 or what? I don't know.
Utah.
Couple teams in Ontario that are in interesting spots, no matter how this plays out.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how it happens. I mean, you've got your lucky beer now.
I do. Got my ice bock.
So maybe that'll take you through to the finals in the cup, man. I don't know. I'll be very disappointed if I do get to that. I mean, again, like I said before, I feel for you guys. It's been 400 years since you won a cup or got to the second round of a playoff.
Actually, today is the 57th anniversary of our last cup in 67. Is that going to be good or bad juju when the game starts?
Yeah, they'll say it doesn't matter. It's history.
Yeah. And they should. Like,
they absolutely should. Yeah.
Even their coach wasn't alive when Leafs last won a cup. But I just wonder. Fans like to kick that shit around, right? It's that day. Does that mean this is the day we're reminded of the curse and we get shelled? Or
well,
do the ghosts
that.
Of the old Leafs
Depends
power
on
them
how
forward?
The game goes.
Yeah. We'll write that headline after the game, not before the game.
Yeah. Well, if I see it's going a certain way this evening, I might take an Uber back here and sit outside in the parking lot.
You'll be sitting down in the parking lot. You won't be allowed into the building watching me come
totally
out. And
all I want to see
is the flag coming down. Yeah.
That's what made me fall in love with you.
Yeah. That's great.
Is that one episode?
My misery.
I think it was 2 years ago when you went on the balcony, you took it down, and it was just like, I don't even know, 30 seconds? of an episode? Could 2 minutes? It was short. And you're like, I got nothing. Because last year was kind of like, yeah, again, we lost again.
Yeah.
We made the second round. Hey, Yonge Street Parade, let's go.
Sure.
But I think we've been in the year before that you were just like
defeated.
Really
utterly
in the doldrums.
Defeated.
Yeah, just.
And they've changed nothing since then.
No.
Same coach, same top guys. So what could go wrong?
I'm sure it's going to be better this year.
Yeah. This is the time. All because of that ice box. It's the magic ice box taking us all
magic
the way.
Magic elixir that will take
the
you
magic
to the
elixir.
Cup.
Love to hear it. Appreciate you coming in. Didn't appreciate the second half of your visit as much as the first half, but
oh, it was still fun. Yeah. Yeah, it's always good to come. Thanks, man.
And we appreciate the beers, of course. You can check out the May the 4th 4-pack at the Whippersnapper Brewing Company out there in, we call it Bell's Corners?
We Nepean? Call it Bell's Corners.
Okay.
Nepean Bell's Corners. There's sometimes negative connotations about Bell's Corners, sure. But we have a super sweet neighborhood in Bell's Corners called Linwood, which is what we are part of.
Leafs go down tonight. I'll be broadcasting from Limpwood, Ontario. This is how that's going to play out.
Wow.
May the 4th is this Saturday. If you want to drop by the brewery then, they'll have some of the Star Wars movies going on, some pizza, some beers. That'll be a good time as well. So we thank Ian McMartin for coming in and doing this.
Thanks, Matt. Good luck with that ice box tonight.
Yeah. Not tonight. Don't want it tonight. Want it later? Not tonight. That's where we're going to wrap this one up. For Ian McMartin, my name is Matt Robinson. Thank you so much for listening. We're on social media at Tall Can Audio. We will link to the Whippersnapper Brewing Company's socials in the show notes. And we'll see you all next time.
I've been around, but I ain't ever seen a guy who looks like a Muppet, but he's wrinkled and green. Oh, my God.